The August 8th, 2014 rain report follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the rain report.
So far in 2014, there have been 13 fatalities in the U.S. that I'm aware of involved in tower operations. That is more than there was in all of 2013.
That's Mark Allen, W6PC, a vice president with Roan Products, LLC. He spoke at the 2014 Dayton Hamvention about tower safety.
The name of this talk is Practical Safety Considerations for Amateur Radio Towers. I don't know about you, but I consider the antenna and the tower the other half of my station. I'm an electromagnetics engineer by training, so I've always felt that gain is cheaper than watts. You pay for gain once, you pay for watts every time you key up. I've always been a big believer in doing the best you can with an antenna system. Unfortunately, my lawyers at the company say that I have to tell you that we're not providing you with any specific engineering advice. We recommend that you engage services of somebody that's qualified to deal with your particular situation. The operation and maintenance of your tower system is dynamic. Things change over time, mostly weather. A few somewhat sobering facts. So far in 2014, there have been 13 fatalities in the U.S. that I'm aware of involved in tower operations. That is more than there was in all of 2013. OSHA is very concerned about this, and there are a number of things that are going on a regulatory front. Admittedly, these are primarily for professional tower people that are working on all the cellular systems and so forth. Let's just snap ourselves to reality. Fundamentally, guys our age don't need to be climbing towers. You're not in as good a shape as you think you were 20 years ago. 70% of the accidents I'm aware of have to do with dismantling. How many of you have learned that somebody passed away or somebody's moving and they'll give you their tower if you'll come take it down? I hear these stories all the time. I've even done a few of them. 30% of the accidents have to do with erection. Why is that? It's because you're planning a lot better in the erection phase. Plus, when you're taking one down, you have no idea the history. Has it been subject to windstorms, corrosion, maintenance? Who knows? The other thing I want to tell you is you're not as smart as you think you are. The guys that designed it understand the dynamics that are involved. We use some computer programs that are so complex you wouldn't believe it to figure the stresses on these structures. And I got my license, I think, in 67, and all through the early part of my career, I did like most of us do. I threw all kinds of stuff up in the air. Fortunately, I never had a serious accident, but believe me, it was by sheer luck and not planning and skill. Regardless of whose product that you buy, and there's plenty of them out there, you should trust the manufacturer's recommendations and specifications. Two other points before we move on. Every year, there are a few people killed when their structures come in contact with power lines. You must be aware of what's going on. You will use all nine of your lives in one flash. You'll excuse the parlance. You don't ever intentionally plan to come in contact with a power line, but ladders shift, towers under construction move and fall over, and you just will be killed. And if you're not, you'll wish you were, because pieces will be blown off. Last but not least, although not really designed for amateur structures, there are safety climb systems out there which consist of a cable or a rail that runs up the tower and it's positive fall prevention. It will save your neck. So give that some thought. Towers and antennas are the heart of your station. This is an interesting statement I'd like you to consider. Accidents and incidents involving towers are typically a confluence of circumstances, sometimes seemingly unrelated events, which all coalesce to create a disaster. And what that means is, it's usually a chain of events that leads to an accident. That falls true in a lot of things. Airplane crashes, car crashes, it's usually a chain of events. So your job as the person that's in charge is to break that chain. These are the top five causes of tower failure. This is a 50-year study done by a gentleman by the name of Don Davies at Consolidated Engineering, and they make their living investigating tower accidents. Repair and erection errors, 31%. So out of every 10 towers that fall down, Three of them fell down because of repair and erection errors. Ice accumulation, about three of them. Special wind, tornadoes and hurricanes predominantly, 19%. Aircraft strikes, 11%. That typically doesn't affect us hams. And anchor failures, 10%. That typically doesn't affect us either, but it can. Every system requires maintenance. You tune up your amplifiers, you change the tubes, you keep things aligned. Take yourself, for example. Most of us get an annual physical. We get our eyes and our glasses checked. We get screened for cancer. We go to the dentist. We do all these things to take care of ourselves. Your tower needs some health checkup, too. Lighting, if you got it, physical inspection, transmission lines, guy wires, lighting protection, signage, and in the case of commercial installations, gates and so forth. The TIA, or Telecommunications Industry Association, is the organization, the body, if you will, that puts together specifications and regulations and guidance for towers. Used to be associated with the EIA, which most of us are aware of, Electronic Industries Association. Here's a chart that tells you what you ought to do the first year, every year thereafter, every 3 years, every 5 years, and after severe loading. Ice, wind, unusual wind, that sort of thing. Anytime you are considering modifying your tower, or putting one up for that matter, you need to engage the services of a qualified firm to do that. If you're in a city limits, typically, they're going to require that a professional engineer stamp off your setup. I can't tell you how important this is, and that goes back to my earlier statement, is you're not as smart as you think you are. I strongly advise that you get some help.
You're listening to an excerpt from a 2014 Hamvention Forum talk given by Mark Allen, W6PC, a vice president with Roan Products, LLC. We'll conclude our excerpt from Mark's presentation in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available on Twitter using the hashtag The Rain Report. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Construction errors. Maintenance accounts for 31%. You saw that. So select your steeplejack or tower climber carefully. Check their qualifications and experience. Make sure that their experience is appropriate for your size and type of tower. If they've been putting up poles on top of somebody's house, that doesn't qualify them to put up your 200-foot tower for your big old beam. Check their reputation, and I don't mean call your buddies. Call around and check. Be serious about it. They should have insurance. Discuss a work plan with their person that's on site, who's going to do what to who and when and how and what happens if things go wrong. Plan on being there when the work is going on. Now, for most of us hams, our antennas are located at your house. I will tell you there is a proclivity with insurance companies now to exclude antennas on your homeowner's policy unless it's a TV antenna or satellite TV antenna. I'm neither a lawyer nor an insurance guy, but what it means to me is that if I've called up some of my buddies from the ham club to come over and do some work on my tower, one of them gets hurt or the tower falls on top of my house and caves my roof in, or both, my homeowner's insurance is going to say, you didn't read exclusion number 27 on page 3 in the fine print. Good luck. My advice to you is before something happens, read your policy or talk to your agent and plan a little ahead. Conversely, if it's not covered, probably for a few more bucks, you can get it added on as a rider, they call it. By the way, after it happens, it's too late. This is definitely a problem. What happened here is that they had put temporary guys on this thing using some slip-type clamps while they were replacing guy wires, and guess what? It slipped. At this point, if you were the tower owner, would you want this thing straightened up back in service? Probably not, because there's been some stresses put on this that are probably not able to be calculated. Hey, boss, we saved $2,500 by getting a soils report. Do you know what a soils report is for? Soils report is what the foundation engineers use to figure out the size of the foundation they need to support something. If you don't understand the composition of the soil, obviously a sandy soil has less holding ability than clay, for instance. That's why you do a geotech report. When airplanes hit towers, they both lose. Typically, it's a fatality for the aircraft, and the tower is a loss as well. Fabrication-induced failures. Use an experienced manufacturer. There are lots of good tower companies out there. You all know the names. They advertise in QST and the rest of the trade publications. The point is, you don't need to be building this in your barn. Tower manufacturers fall under two types of certification. One is AISC, the Association of Steel Constructors and Fabricators, and the other one is AWS, that's American Welding Society, and CWB, Canadian Welding Board. Don't be afraid to ask your manufacturer if they're certified. Most of them, if they are proud to tell you. Okay, if you don't have an aluminum structure, you got a steel structure, it's best that it's hot dip galvanized. That's regulated under something called ASTM 123. And this assures you that you get a good coating. Two key elements affecting your tower system. Old Mother Nature and Father Time, they take their toll just like they do on us. Here's some pointers for your tower crew and your ground crew. Their ground crew's next. Have a plan, discuss with everybody involved what's going to happen. When you get somebody up the tower, it's the wrong time to talk about it. If you're the climber and you don't like what you see, then don't be stupid. Don't climb it. Spend the money, get a crane in there and set her down. Don't climb alone. Have ground support. For Pete's sake, have the proper equipment. Steel shank boots and a good pair of gloves. How many of you have stood on a tower on one of these little bitty narrow rungs on the ones we make, for instance, for more than about 15 minutes? You know what happens to the bottom of your feet? I don't need to tell you. So that is largely alleviated if you use steel shank boots or shoes. Use a tool bag and a hoisting rope. Why are you going to carry all that junk up there in a backpack on your back when you can hoist it up there when you're in place? Don't buy used safety equipment. Now, we're all tempted to do that, and I would lay you more than even money that out in the flea market that we just got through having, there was probably 20 or 30 safety belts for sale. The problem is you don't know what they've been exposed to in the past. Are you willing to risk your neck? Not me. It's the one brand new thing right out of the box that I buy. And conversely, don't loan it out because you don't know what your buddy's going to do to it. Take a cell phone up with you. We didn't used to have this option, but we do now. What happens if you get up there and have a heart attack? You can just dial 911. They'll come get you. Don't try and manhandle, if you will, more than you can lift up there. Every year, I see guys trying to get that beam the last 2 feet and get it onto the mast to bolt it down, and you're straining everything you got. Use a gen pole. They're a pretty handy tool. I told you don't climb alone. Have a ground crew. Here's what your ground crew needs to take into consideration. They need to have the same plan you do. They need to understand what you're going to do up there so they can have things ready for you. Wear a safety hat. Even nuts and bolts hurt when they hit your noggin when they're coming down from 100 feet. Keep visitors at a safe distance. Tower work is something that people really get curious about. Your neighbors are going to come over. All your friends from the club are going to want to come help and watch and bring beer and whatever they do. Make sure they're at a safe distance. Don't work alone on the ground either. It'd be good to have a couple folks on the ground and then one guy up the tower. Stay out of the range of falling objects in your lifting area. Have a cell phone with you because more than likely if there's an accident, the guy on the tower can't call, so you'll be the one that has to. Have a first aid kit handy. People get cut and hurt. Same thing applies to you on the ground. Don't try and move more than you can handle. Watch out for ground hazards, holes. I almost stepped in one a few weeks ago. I didn't see. Trip hazards, snakes. A lot of times we're putting stuff up out in tall grass. And then there's those nasty insects that want to sting you and bite you.
The voice of Mark Allen, W6PC, a vice president with Rhone Products, LLC, excerpted from his 2014 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2014 Rain. All rights reserved. Now for Rain's producer and founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com.